I want to welcome some of you that are visiting and some from other churches, and we want to welcome you here. Today is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all our dads. So we have a special gift for our dads. So if you are in the back parking lot, please do not leave until you get one. So we'll bring it to you at some point here. So this week at 11 o'clock, we have Monday morning prayer at 11 a.m. Then tomorrow night at 6 p.m., we're meeting at the Linden County Parks for our fellowship walk. We basically, you can walk as little or as much as you want. We walk for about, I think the path is around 2 miles long. It's fun. We get to be with each other, and it's a different group every week. And some people, if it's cool enough, some of you may just want to sit under the pavilion and then just visit with somebody that also doesn't want to walk. So if you need more fellowship in your life, which I think we certainly do after the last 4 months, join us out there. And it's at the Blue Jay Picnic Area, which is when you go on Whitaker Road, it's to the right. Wednesday night prayer and Bible study will be in this room at 7 o'clock. And we do want to invite the kids to come. We're going to try to include them as best we can. But we're not going to have any kids' services in the back because of we're moving them to Friday nights. That will not be happening this week, but the following week. Oh, it is this week. Okay, the kids' service is this week on Friday, and that's going to be at 7 p.m. Hopefully we'll be outside if the weather's nice. If it's not, we'll be inside. Each child and their parent will be at a different table in the fellowship hall, and we're going to have some activities, a Bible story. The whole thing's going to take about 30 to 35 minutes, because I know kids after 30 minutes are going to be just jumping up and down and bouncing, so we hope you can come. If you can come, let Laura Miller or myself know so we know how many to prepare for. And then, of course, next week we are going to have the return of the Sunday evening worship service. So we're looking forward to having that come back. All right. Bob is going to come and lead us in faith of our fathers. Bob Smith, would you come?
Happy Father's Day. Enjoying the warm weather? Make us thank God for air conditioning.
Emily's going to come and bring us a special number and song today. And this is actually something she sang on March 15th when this whole thing started. And I think we had very few people here that Sunday, so not many of you got to hear her song. In fact, probably maybe none of you, except I know Alan Hevner was here that day and Laura was. But she's going to sing it again for us. And she's back home from Kansas. Isn't that wonderful?
You're the God who stands. You're the God who
normally be one we'd have you sing today, God of our fathers. This week for our prayer request, we want to remember Gabriella Pitsley. Gabriella is my cousin's daughter, and she's through the years had a battle with neuroblastoma cancer, and she is undergoing surgery, I believe tomorrow or this week. So if you could remember her in prayer. Don Hale left for, or was leaving for Maine. I'm not sure if he's left yet, but he has a son, Chris, and Chris has been undergoing some very serious back issues. We want to lift him up in prayer. He's asking for prayer from anybody that will pray for him. Also, pray for Don as he makes his way to Maine, or if he's there. I haven't heard yet, but I do have his new address, so if you want to write him, I can get that to you. Also, Wilma Counterman, her cousin's husband, Al Stauffer, is facing cancer. Got to see Ellsworth yesterday. He's looking a lot stronger, a lot better. Last week, we thought that there was a possibility he might have stomach cancer in addition to the lymphoma, and I'm very glad and pleased to tell you that that came back clear. He doesn't have any cancer in his stomach. But he's undergoing chemo. I think the next chemo treatment's going to be in about a week. And he is at Genesis. Ellsworth, he says he's doing good, but he's still got a long road ahead of him. It's probably going to be about 30 days before he gets to go home. He's going to have to go to rehab and re-strengthen his legs after having that infection in there. Pray for Ellsworth. We miss him on the piano on Sundays, and I miss him. And I hope he gets better. So we're going to lift up those needs to the Lord in prayer this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for Father's Day and, Lord, for the fathers that you've given us. And, God, I thank you for that stability of having a dad in the home and Lord, all that the sacrifices he made for me and for my brother and sister. And, God, I just pray this morning that as we consider the fact that you are our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning and we praise you and we thank you for all that you are to us as our Father. You're the one who waits for us. You're the one whose heart was broken over our sin. You're the one who sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross for our sins. Our salvation was born in the heart of the Father. And Lord, we thank you this morning for all that you've done for us. Lord, we just praise you for your matchless grace, for your love that knows no bounds, and Lord, for the hope that you give us of one day being with you for eternity. And Lord, in this life, as our Father, you've called us to certain things. You've called us to walk in the light. You've called us to a life of holiness. You've called us to live lives that are channels for your grace to flow from you to us to others. And God, this morning, we just pray for the strength. We pray for the ability and the encouragement this morning, Lord, that we can do the will of God, but we can only do it through the power of the Holy Spirit residing in our hearts. And God, we just ask this morning that you would just come into this congregation and into the parking lot, that you would speak to hearts of each person that is here. But I just ask that you would just continue to be with our church in the days ahead. We just rest in the fact that you are in control. And God, we just praise you and thank you today for your presence with us. Lord, be with each one of these requests that's in our bulletin. Lord, we just pray that you would just touch Ellsworth in the hospital today, that he'd sense your presence. And God, I thank you for his ministry that is so expansive and all the churches that have been helping him and reaching out to him. God, I just pray that you would just continue to put your hand upon him. Lord, for Gabriella this week as she goes for surgery, we ask that you'd guide the doctor's hands. We pray that you just put your hand upon Chris and touch his back. Be with Don as he travels. And Lord, we just ask that you would just hear each one of these requests. Lord, that through faith in Jesus Christ, that you would answer each one of these prayers. And God, we thank you today for this beautiful day, this day that we can be together as the church and the body of Christ. And Lord, I just pray that you'd bless each one. We ask all this in Jesus' matchless name. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones or whatever you brought with you, James chapter 1 is where we're going to be at. Would you stand for the reading of God's Word this morning? James chapter 1, verse 2. And it says there, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire and wanting nothing." Verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Therefore, when lust hath conceived and bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would break the bread of life, the word of God, before us this morning. And Lord, that you would nourish our souls with it. Help me as I preach. Help each one here as they listen. And Lord, we just pray for a special touch from the Holy Spirit this morning working in our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Well, today is Father's Day, a day to celebrate our relationships with our earthly fathers. And it's also a day to thank God for being our Heavenly Father. And of course, they say that Mother's Day and Father's Day should be every day, and I'm all for that. While that is heartfelt, we also should never forget that every day is a day that the Lord has made, and we should be rejoicing and be glad in it. All good things come from God. All good things come from God. And when we say that, we're not speaking in a vague way or even thinking about the good way that the world thinks about good. Good is who God is. Good is what God does. Good is his character. Good is what he creates. Good is what he commands us. Good are the gifts that he gives. And as human beings, we talk about, well, that's a good person or that's a good thing for them to do. And it's only good as it conforms to the will of God. Without God's indwelling presence in our hearts and lives, there can be no good thing. If we look at the philanthropists of today, and there's a lot of them, Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, they have lots of money and they do lots of things with their money. And we would say that those things are good. I would argue and have you consider this morning that if we do good things but exclude God, then that thing is neither good nor godly. So we need God's indwelling presence. God directs us what good things to do with our life. And as we conform to the will of God, as we do those good things, then in that measure there's goodness in us. But without God, there is no goodness. Isaiah 5:2 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The world and popular culture loves to alter the things that God has said is good, and they say those things are bad, and vice versa. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of heaven. Everything good comes from God. But the world distorts what God calls good, and it takes the things that God calls sinful and evil and calls them good. While each of us was born with a sinful nature, which produces all sorts of sin, God is the only one that can produce good things. God is the source of all our spiritual blessings. Jesus came from heaven to us because of the goodness of God. The Holy Spirit is also a blessing from God the Father. Genesis 28:12, you see the angels descending and ascending the stairway into heaven that reached all the way to God. When we're born again, we say that we're born from above. First, we're born from below, and then we're born from above. In James chapter 1, he's talking about the wisdom of God and the gift of single-mindedness, the ability to endure temptation, and all of that comes from above. Now, we have this idea in our culture of good cop, bad cop. Somebody comes in and they withhold water, they withhold something you need, they treat you poorly. And then the person comes in that is good. And some people view the Father somehow as kind of being the bad cop in the Old Testament, and Jesus is the good cop in the New Testament. Now that's cute for a detective story, but that in no way describes the God of the Bible or the message of Scripture. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places of Christ." All our spiritual blessings this morning comes from the Father. It's the Father who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings through his Son, Jesus Christ. So it is a mistake to view God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit as some sort of having different levels of compassion and sympathy and seriousness toward us. It's a big mistake to look at the Father as being someone distant from us where Jesus is closer to us. If you have one, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus and you have the Father. If you have one, you have them all. They are all tender and compassionate, full of love, full of grace, and full of holiness. And they came to redeem us. Jesus did not leave his throne in heaven to come to earth as a baby, to grow to be about 33 years old, and then die on a cross, a bloodstained cross, so that God could start loving you. No, it's because God loved you long before the foundation of the world that he sent his son and he died on a cross. Love did not start at the cross, but love started in the heart of the Father. And God expressed his love for you and for me on that cross. The cross was necessary because of our sin. 1 John 4:10 says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins." One fact that there is no escape from is that God is very much a part of your life and my life. In him we live, we move, and have our very being. Acts 17:28. God is not uninterested in your life. He's interested in the big things. He's interested in the small things. Sometime when you're reading the Old Testament, just make a list of all the things that you see that God is interested in your life. Common things that we might call dull and mundane. In the Old Testament, it teaches that God puts our tears in a bottle. God knows what garment we wear and what fabric it was made of, if it was a mixture of wool or something else. The Old Testament tells us that God is interested in the fringes that people wore on their clothing. Unimportant things, you might say. But Jesus is that kind of God. He is God of the infinitely small, and he's God of the infinitely great. And he's not separated himself from any part of our human life. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we rise up. He knows when we go out, and he knows when we come in. And he comes near to us in both the uneventful and the eventful moments of our lives. He numbers the hairs on our head. That's our God. That's the goodness of God. And that's our Heavenly Father. Secondly, the passage says that God is the Father of heavenly lights. And it's easy to skip over that title. But God is light. He's light to you and to me. He is the light to those who are saved. He is the light of our lives. He created the night sky, and he created all the lights that glisten in heaven. But the Bible and the Word of God is also light. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world, and he that follows me will not walk in darkness." In Ephesians 5:8, "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of light." 1 John 1:5, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." The God who gives good gifts, the God who gives perfect gifts, the God who is the Father of lights, in whom there is no darkness at all. James 1:18, "He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." And that verse is dealing with the fact that he regenerates us. He gives us new life. That we who are alive physically when we're born are dead spiritually. And he comes and gives us spiritual life. I was reading this week about this Moravian community back in the 1700s. It was in Herrnhut. In 1727, there was Count Zinzendorf. In 1722, Count Zinzendorf, they had this group of people called the Moravians. They got together, and there was dissension in the community. There was complaining and griping. But Count Zinzendorf wanted to have a prayer meeting, around-the-clock prayer watch. And it continued, and this is the world's longest prayer meeting. You know, sometimes the most barren place in the church is at prayer meeting time. People just view it as not being important, an uncomfortable thing to go to. And I would argue that the devil has got the wool pulled over our eyes, because it is the most valuable, the most precious, and the most important work that this church can do is the work of intercessory prayer. So they started a prayer watch, and it started in 1727. And in 1727, it continued for 100 years, 24 hours a day, people praying. Mom and dad would come to an altar, and they started out with, I think, 12 women and 12 men, and they committed to pray 1 hour a day, and they took turns each hour of the day, so that 24 hours a day, there was constantly prayer happening in this place. And so you have children that are growing up in families where mom and dad, the atmosphere is just an atmosphere of prayer, an atmosphere where God's presence is constantly sought. you know, we've got this beautiful building here. We've got this, you know, we set this apart for God's use. And I talked about that last week. But without the fire, we talked about this Wednesday night, without the fire of God, without the presence of God in this room is completely useless to us. But if we invite God's presence to meet with us here, then something happens. Then this room becomes transformed. It's not the bricks that are important or the wood, but it's who we invite in that makes all the difference. And by 1791, this little prayer meeting that lasted for 100 years, by 1791, there was 300 missionaries from a group of probably, I can't remember if it was 200 to 300 people in this community, but this community sent out 300 missionaries to the ends of the earth. From 1722 to 1727, those 5 years, it had no spiritual power. There was no spiritual power in this community, in this church, if you want to call it that, this settlement. 300 people were racked by dissension and bickering. And you'd say, if you looked at these people in 1722, you would say, that is not going to be the site of a revival if I ever saw one. Zinzendorf covenanted to pray for revival. In May 12th, 1727, that was when they started. Christians just became aglow with life and with power. The dissension vanished. People who didn't know Jesus Christ were converted. And a spirit of prayer just became evident in the whole community. They called it the golden summer of 1727. It's when everything changed for these people. And August 27th of that year is when you had the 24 men and the 24 women covenanting to pray an hour a day at a scheduled time. So for over 100 years, the members of the Moravian Church all shared this hourly intervention. 6 months after that had happened, some of the Moravians went to the West Indies, Greenland, Turkey, Lapland, which is the northern part of Finland. Some were skeptical, but Zinzendorf persisted. 26 Moravians stepped forward the next day to volunteer for missions, wherever the Lord led. And it was from the Moravians that they touched the heart of a man called John Wesley, who started Methodism, which is probably one of the spiritual fathers of the Church of the Nazarene that has affected us the most. So the Church of the Nazarene has roots back to this Moravian revival. The Moravians, just a little group of maybe 300 people praying, kids growing up in that atmosphere of prayer, it altered the course of history. It faced prison. It faced shipwreck for Jesus. It faced persecution. It faced ridicule. It faced plague. It faced poverty. It faced threats of death. And you're like, I don't know if I want to sign up for this. But they had a conviction from God that they were going to intercede for the world in prayer. And the world was changed as a result of the Moravians. You look at all these wonderful stories in history of how the church did great things, but never did anything happen unless it was backed up with prayer and with spiritual life and God's presence and God's goodness. So on this Father's Day, I want to encourage all of you, not just dads, but all of us, to be faithful to God. And to be faithful to God means to be men and women and boys and girls of prayer. Without prayer, this church is useless. I want to put a sign up. It's not original to me, but I was reading in a book by Leonard Ravenhill, Why Revival Tarries. And there's a phrase in there. It says that this minister had put up in his wall, this church is either going to have a revival or it's going to have a funeral. And let me tell you, this church is either going to have a revival or it's going to have a funeral. And the only way we're going to have revival in this place, in Argentine, is if we get on our hands and knees before God and pray and intercede on behalf of our community and let God transform our hearts. I'm not perfect. This isn't about me. This isn't about Argentine Church of Nazarene, but it's about God and what God wants to do through us to touch the lives of others. That is living the New Testament, and it only happens through prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day, a gift of your love. We thank you for just how you speak into our lives. But Lord, so often we neglect prayer. So often we neglect coming to the throne of grace and storming the throne for interceding on behalf of this world. And God, we look through history at the great things that you've done through groups like the Moravians. But Lord, is there 24 hours a day of prayer happening at Argentine? Is there men and women coming forward begging to be a part of a prayer meeting? 11 o'clock on Monday mornings, we have prayer. And usually there's about 3 or 4 people that come. And I am thankful for each one. And Lord, I think a great deal is done in that prayer meeting. But oh Lord, my heart aches to see more people catch the fire of prayer, to catch the fire of God within their hearts, to pray for this world, to pray for you to work through this church and to through our lives. And God, I pray today that you would work a miracle in our hearts. God, help us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. At this time, Bob Cole is going to come and lead us in our closing number, Day by Day.
Passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wide bestowment. I've no cause for worry and or fear.